Well, with kids in school, the risk of viral infection skyrockets. Over the past month, a rare form of enterovirus has sent over 400 children in the Kansas City area to the emergency room. Now a conversation with healthcare professionals around the city to better understand enterovirus D68. Our first guest is Dr. Marita Thompson. She's a pediatric critical care physician at Children's Mercy. Doctor, nice to have you. Thanks for taking some time.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Hey, how many patients have been admitted to the pediatric intensive care unit, you know, since the start of this virus, doctor?
It looks to be about 100 patients, which is a pretty good increase in our number of patients for this time of year.
A pretty good increase compared to what is it usually?
Well, I would say it's about a 25% increase over our normal number. August is usually a little bit of a slow time for us, as the viral season hasn't usually started yet.
Yeah. So how has this influence affected the unit itself, the pediatric intensive care unit?
It's made us busier, and probably at the peak, we are seeing about five to six kids coming in a 24-hour period from it. It's kind of slowing down a little bit now. We're probably seeing two children a day. Coming in with respiratory symptoms.
How good of a sign is that if you have a sense that there's been at least an early peak here in the battle against D68?
We're pretty hopeful with that. We're pleased to see that we're not admitting as many kids with it.
Have you seen anything like this in the past, doctor?
Well, we see outbreaks. But we don't usually see viral outbreaks this time of year from respiratory symptoms. That's usually more of a fall-winter problem.
Mm-hmm. There's been coverage on how hard this hits asthmatics. What are the increased dangers they face from a virus like this?
Well, this virus is impacting the respiratory symptoms. So anyone that has an underlying problem, like an asthmatic, we would worry that they are going to be hit a little harder with it. Although we are also seeing kids with a really minimal asthma history, maybe some minor thing when they were much younger coming in with respiratory symptoms. The nice thing is that all of the kids, including the asthmatics, are getting better pretty quickly.
Are you surprised by that?
Usually when asthmatics or other kids come in with respiratory symptoms from a viral syndrome, it usually lasts a little longer. But these kids are coming in the ICU, and they're usually out within 1 to 2 days.
Because the sense you had at least early on was that this was going to be more difficult, more complicated to treat, and what you're describing to me is something that doesn't strike me as much of that at all.
I think what we're seeing is kids that are getting sick and kids that we normally wouldn't expect to be in the ICU to be there, but nicely they're getting better quickly, so it's kind of hitting them hard and then turning around.
We're visiting with Dr. Marita Thompson with Children's Mercy Hospital about the enterovirus D68. What types of treatment are being administered to children in the unit, doctor?
It's primarily things for their respiratory symptoms. System, and we're treating them a lot as asthmatics. So we give them oxygen. We give them medications that help open up their airways. We call them bronchodilators. Sometimes we're giving them steroids. And then sometimes we're having to help with what we call non-invasive ventilatory support, just to help them take better breaths, more effective.
And how quickly can you help a child out with his or her breathing after they've arrived at the hospital?
Oh, pretty quickly. The emergency room sees these kids and starts therapy, you know, usually within minutes of their arrival.
And when they arrive, typically, how would you describe their breathing?
They're breathing really quickly. Interestingly, if I look at their vital signs, they're kind of worrisome to me as an ICU doctor. But when we go in and see the kids, they don't look in as much distress as their vital signs. So that's very positive.
Mm-hmm.
So they're usually pretty awake and alert. But they're breathing very fast.
So the timeline here is what? I mean, a treatment is started, and within a certain time, you see a response. What are you looking at time-wise?
So when these kids come into the emergency department, they're usually coming into the emergency department first. They look like they're an asthmatic or they're breathing quickly, so they start getting oxygen and some of these breathing treatments. And then if they're not getting better and within a couple hours sufficiently to go home, then they come into the hospital.
Mm-hmm.
And then the decision is, how sick do they look, whether or not they need to come in the ICU, where we can give a little higher level of support, and we have closer monitoring, more nurses and doctors close by to keep a good eye on the kids.
Hey, do some cases require more aggressive treatment, and if so, what does that translate to? What do you do in those cases?
In those cases, it's what we call non-invasive support, so we are actually helping. We have not quite ventilators, but one step before putting somebody on a breathing machine to really support them when they take a breath, help them take a more effective breath. And that looks like, sometimes it just looks like a nasal cannula. People might be familiar with that. Or sometimes it's a mask that we attach to the patient's faces.
And for young kids who are struggling with this, doctor, I'm guessing mom and dad are allowed to be around and sort of help them get through what can be a pretty scary thing, I imagine.
We like the parents there because they help us. You know, these kids are scared of us because they don't know us. And so a lot of times we can do our job better if the parents are there helping with us.
If a child winds up in intensive care, how long are they there typically?
They've been staying in the ICU for 24 to 48 hours.
Okay. Once patients are moved to a regular room, then how much longer can they expect to be in the hospital?
Usually it's, again, 1 to 2 days.
Yeah, okay. Just a final thing then. The certain symptoms you're looking for when it comes to enterovirus D68, you're looking for what?
I'm looking for a child that maybe started off with pretty mild symptoms like a cold, you know, runny nose, a little bit of cough. That's progressed to really working hard to breathe, breathing really quickly, or maybe looking, I always describe it as looking like they're running a race, but they're sitting still.
That's a good description.
Kind of getting short of breath and not able to talk, that's another thing. If a child can't talk to me in a full sentence, I start to get a little worried about their breathing.
Mm-hmm. But as we leave this conversation, Dr. Thompson, it sounds like things are looking a little better than maybe they were a week or two ago.
Oh, yes. I would definitely agree with that.
Okay. That's Dr. Marita Thompson. She's a pediatric critical care physician at Children's Mercy. Doctor, thanks so much. So good to have you.
Thank you for having me.
Now for a different look at enterovirus, I want to bring on Dr. Mary Ann Jackson. She's a division director for the infectious diseases at Children's Mercy Hospital. And Dr. Jackson, nice to have you too.
Good morning.
Good morning. Am I saying this correctly? Is it enterovirus?
That is exactly correct.
Boy, I got one right. That's great. And when was this particular strain of enterovirus first discovered, first diagnosed?
Well, in terms of the discovery here in Kansas City of the disease,
yes.
On August 15th, one of our very savvy pediatric emergency medicine specialists recognized an unusually high number of children with unusually severe breathing difficulties, including a couple who had to go to the PICU. She sent an alert to me. We looked at our microbiology records and realized that there was a different virus circulating than would normally be here in August. And we connected with the CDC, and by August 26th, we had confirmation of EV68, but in the meantime, our beds were full.
What was the concern early on? And I'm wondering, Doctor, if you share Dr. Thompson's outlook here that's far more positive today than it was just a couple weeks ago.
Absolutely. So by the time we recognized this, you know, within really 3 to 4 days, we had extremely high census in our children's hospital where we almost exceeded our bed capacity. We certainly had this very high volume of children admitted to our PICU. We mobilized very, very rapidly to ensure that we could provide care for all the children. And now as I look at this outbreak curve, I think I can be very confident in saying we have perhaps 2 to 3 more weeks of disease in our community. But of course, now the weather has changed, and so for children with asthma in particular, they may have a trigger, and we get into our regular respiratory viral season. So we may continue to see and hear about respiratory disease in our community, but I think the EV68 will be decreasing for certain within the next couple of weeks. The curve right now looks very good.
And your theory behind why that's occurring is what?
Well, I believe there is extremely high burden of disease, of mild disease, just common colds, and that's based on our emergency medicine and urgent care records, where they've really seen about 30% more children than they would expect to see for this time of year on a daily basis since early to mid-August. Those children aren't all coming in to be admitted to the hospital. They were seeing upwards of 500 and 600 children per day, not all for respiratory problems, but 30% above what they would normally be seeing, so maybe an extra 100 or so children a day, every day, since about the 15th of August. And we see those numbers are decreasing too. So we know large volume of disease in the community, many with mild disease. And so basically viruses, they run through their susceptible population. And when they've infected enough, then it burns itself out. And it does indeed look like we're seeing fewer children in the outpatient setting, and we're seeing fewer children being admitted who have this virus detected.
Yeah.
And really looks like fewer children to our ICU, especially in the last week, which is good.
We're visiting with Dr. Mary Ann Jackson. She's Division Director for Infectious Disease over at Children's Mercy Hospital. You know, Doctor, give me the 10,000-foot view here. You know, this D68 thing runs, you know, through our community. Is the fear, or is there a fear in the medical community that someday one of these things is going to come into town and we aren't going to know what to do or how to treat it? Isn't that sort of the dark hour, the 11th hour, midnight fear of what might be going on here?
Well, so as an infectious disease specialist, we always worry about new bacteria or viruses making our way into our community. But I really think that with the sophistication of our detection methods, the sophistication in our technology to treat children, and even as I look at EV68, which is new, it hasn't circulated in a large form in the United States, with just very, very tiny clusters in, you know, the 50 plus years since it was first discovered, I think we're really equipped to deal with this. And certainly one thing that's important that you touch on is worry in the community. And I think with EV68, we're seeing a little bit more people coming to us worried about their child, even though they don't have what Dr. Thompson described, and that is those telltale signs of really serious breathing issues with it.
So you have seen some parents really panicked when they bring a kid in then?
Well, certainly the panicked parents of the child who's not able to breathe. There's no question that that's, you know, we're seeing that, and it's only appropriate. But we're seeing parents who may be worried that their child will develop breathing problems with this. And so I think it's important for your listeners to know that most kids who start out with this basic cold symptom, they progress very rapidly, and I mean within 12 to 24 hours, to the more seriously ill. But the vast, vast majority will just be cold, and they'll stay cold. So if your child is eating, drinking, and playing, even with lots of runny nose and cough, then you should be very reassured that even if it's EV68, they're going to recover.
We have Dr. Jackson just for a few more minutes. If any of our listeners want to call in with a question about all of this, our phone number 816-235-2888. Again, 816-235-2888. Why does this virus not seem to affect adults, Dr. Jackson?
That is an excellent question. And, of course, we've stayed in close touch with our adult colleagues to make sure we've just not overlooked a disease there. And I don't believe we have. So I think the explanation, enteroviruses are a class of viruses. There are about 100 of these viruses, and 15 million children are infected by an enterovirus every year. So my suspicion is that there's some enterovirus that's been out there that's close to EV68, and many adults must indeed have antibody to this, some form of protection. I would think that this far into our outbreak, if it was going to hit kids first before it hits adults, we would have been hearing about adults by now, even adults in the families where we've seen this, and we've just not seen it. So I think the adult population may have some form of immunity to this. We don't know that for sure, but that would be the most common scientifically plausible explanation.
You know, enterovirus is a common classification for viruses. What determines whether a viral infection is enterovirus or something else?
It is simply based on the clinical presentation, how the child looks, what do they come in with, and then what we find in the laboratory. So if I took you back, say, 40 years ago, we absolutely did not have the technology to really identify this with any accuracy.
Mm-hmm. Again, our phone number
here. We certainly do now.
Mm-hmm. Again, our phone number here, 816-235-2888. And there are multiple different types of enterovirus, if I understand right.
That's correct. So about 2 months ago in our community, I send out a newsletter to our community practitioners to kind of give them an alert, tell them what season is, what we're expecting from the infectious disease point of view. And so the alert that went out 2 months ago was, remember, July is enterovirus season. Hmm. We always see this. We see it every year. It starts in July. It leaves in October. It has a particular look about it, though, and some parents recognize the more common clinical features, i.e., hand, foot, and mouth disease. Mm-hmm. A lot of parents have heard about that. They'd be nonspecific rashes this time of year. We even see some cases of viral meningitis this time of year. That's our normal enterovirus, and they're due to different enterovirus than the enterovirus 68. They're due to enteroviruses that are in the Coxsackie virus class or in the echovirus class. So there's a whole bunch of these, over 100. And the ones that we typically see, doctors recognize, and most of these children do not, except for very little babies, have problems with it. So here what's unusual is we have big kids, school-age kids, who are having a severe respiratory attack mm-hmm. with an enterovirus, and that's what told us from the beginning. It had to be something different.
Chloe from Overland Park, you're on with Dr. Mary Ann Jackson. Good morning.
Hi, good morning. I just had a quick question. My daughter is kind of exhibiting the beginnings of what you had described about 10 minutes ago. What do you suggest as far as treating it as kind of a minor cold versus the crazy respiratory stuff?
So, number one, what we're really advising is that every family make sure they have a medical home and they have a primary care physician that they can touch bases with, because the treatment of common cold is pretty simple. It is making sure your child has fluids, making sure if they have a fever that you're using acetaminophen or ibuprofen, and then just monitoring their breathing. And as long as they're active and playing, that is a very, very good sign. And so that's what you're going to observe as a parent. And then if they develop what Dr. Thompson talked about, rapid breathing, difficulty catching their breath, they are so short of breath that they can't speak in a sentence. I tell you what, parents have not missed this diagnosis in their children. They've been right on top of it. They've brought their child into the emergency room in those cases, and we've been able to initiate treatment. So viruses run a course, and the course usually for a common cold is they start off mild, they peak in 3 to 4 days, they run a 7 to 10 day course, with most kids being better in a week. And the symptoms in intensity are the amount of runny nose and the amount mm-hmm. of cough they have. But they don't have this difficulty breathing typically.
Chloe, I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. She's 16 months, so I'm that hypochondriac mother. I just don't want to overreact.
Yeah.
You're a good mom. You're doing what every mom does, and that's making sure you're using your powers of observation and that you're going to be on top of it. And you'll be on top of it by your very close observation and then just making sure she's doing all the things she'd normally be doing, sleeping comfortably, playing, eating, drinking, making sure she doesn't have a fever, and she's going to be fine.
Okay, well, thank you so much.
Good luck, Chloe.
Okay, bye-bye.
Dr. Mary Ann Jackson is Division Director for Infectious Disease over at Children's Mercy. And Dr. Jackson, you've been great about giving us a good update here. I'm really glad to have it. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having me.
You bet.